Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got the Rob Rant coming up at 7:45, Teresa Walker at 8 o'clock, and Darren McCarty, Detroit Red Wings legend, at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
I don't know if I've ever seen Rex Road so excited in my life, other than when we discussed Joe Milton. Like, those are the two most exciting things, really, of Rex Road's career.
We should probably get Joe Milton on the show, huh?
We probably should.
So the thing with Darren McCarty, very excited to have him on. Michelle, you need to be ready.
Yeah, you do.
You might need to be ready. You're like, what?
Oh, got you. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah, there could be. What did you think I was talking about? Lung butter?
I don't know. Is he just going to be... Yep, I got it.
I don't know what he's going to be.
Just be ready.
But yeah, lets the words fly, you know. And then, you know, as we start talking about Claude, again, he was with Claude Lemieux.
If we start talking about Claude Lemieux, you might let the words fly.
Well, that's true. Like I just did during one of our breaks.
Yeah. So
still hasn't apologized for destroying a person's face.
Looking forward to that conversation coming up at 9 o'clock. Joe, some interesting audio that was uncovered yesterday. So Nick Cole, at Nick Cole Sports on Twitter, put this out yesterday into the Twitter sphere that I had not seen. And then he tagged 102.5 The Game in it and heard some comments from Frank Cervalli of Daily Faceoff on their Daily Faceoff Rundown podcast discussing the Philip Forsberg contract and the offer that Frank Cervalli has heard that the Predators have come in at. Here was that audio yesterday from the Daily Faceoff Rundown podcast.
Philip Forsberg's an interesting one to me. I don't know what he's asking for, Frank. I looked at all his numbers, but if you're the Nashville Predators, man, I don't see how you wouldn't sign him. You don't, he's your best forward. To me, it's not close. I don't know. Is he a $9 million player? Yeah, probably. You have Roman Josi there.
They didn't ask for $9 million, I can tell you that. So they're asking for well south of what Roman Josi makes.
So then
he's at 9.058.
Yes.
I think they're somewhere in the low eights.
Yeah, well, I don't understand why that would even be a hesitation in Nashville. That seems odd. That's the one that doesn't make sense to me. I know Calgary's offered Johnny Gaudreau, you know, fair market value, and I understand the Gaudreau thing. I've said it all along. I get why some American-born players like to play in the States. I understand it. But the Forsberg one, Frank, to me, just doesn't really make much sense. If that's what you're signing for, when you look at the going rate, you're not going to bring in anyone on a better contract that's going to bring you what Philip Forsberg is.
And if you're Philip Forsberg, you're probably, depends on what the numbers are that Nashville's offering, but teams are able to do that calculation pretty quickly and easily to say, with our ability to offer you 8 years, another team is going to have to offer you this much more for seven, just to get to the same number of dollars.
So that was Frank Cervalli yesterday on the Daily Faceoff Rundown podcast discussing Forsberg's contract situation and saying that he's asking for well below Josi's contract of $9.059 million per year, and that Cervalli believes that he's in the low eights in what he's asking for from the Predators. What do you think of that, Joe Rexroad?
Well, first of all, when anything like this comes out, I think immediately of why did it come out? Who wants it to come out?
Right.
So Cervalli, very connected. And you don't too often hear numbers during these things. Here and there, you'll get something out there, but you don't too often get numbers thrown out there because usually both sides really don't want that to be the case.
Right.
I would say David Poor right now would like this to not be the case. But would never ask Frank Cervalli. He would never confirm, never should, because you don't reveal your sources. But man, this reads to me like JP Barry getting frustrated and wanting people to understand that Forsberg's not asking for 10 mil over here.
Right.
And I don't think Frank Cervalli or any reporter just flippantly says something like that unless you have absolute permission from your source, and that would be the, you know, the likely that camp would be the source, would be the likely source. So
we're probably not getting that for Poyle.
Right. Now, Frank,
just so you know.
Hey, Frank, David Poyle here. Now, listen, let's talk about something I'd love for you to say on the air. Yeah. No, it's, and so, first of all, that's my, I think about it in terms of, you know, the reporting aspect of it is like, wow, he's not just, Frank Cervello's not just out there just like throwing stuff around like that unless he has explicit permission to do so, which I bet has David Poyle upset right now. And I get it. And also, he should be upset because people should be upset with him.
Yeah.
So David Poyle's probably upset because, like, this is fairly upsetting. It's fair for Preds fans to be upset when you hear it, again, if it's true that Forsberg is asking for low eights, that they haven't gotten a deal done.
Well, I mean, Saravalli says it pretty strongly here. Quote, they didn't ask for nine. I can tell you that. So he is obviously pretty comfortable going on record and saying, yeah, they're not asking for $9 million. Like, we've talked about this the whole time. Like, we haven't known specifically what the numbers are, but somebody is pretty obviously either lowballing here or asking for the moon. Like, is, we talked about it yesterday. Like, is Philip Forsberg asking for $9.5 million? Are you asking for $10 million?
Because
if so, that's pretty steep. Like, I can understand if you're the Predators maybe not wanting to do that. Or are the Predators being really low with this offer? Like, Saravalli says he thinks that they're somewhere in the low eights with what they're asking. So I don't know what that means. Could it be 8.2, 8.3? Is it, hey, you pay Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene $8 million each, so give me $8.05 million? Like, I don't know.
8.09.
Yeah, like, could be. I don't know. I don't know exactly what that means. But to me, like, if that's what it is, I'd have signed up for that deal yesterday if I'm the Predators. Now, obviously, if you're David Poyle and the Predators, you're trying to get the best deal you can possibly get. So I understand that, but if they're somewhere in the low eights with what they're asking, like, this deal should get done. Like, you need to get this done if you're the Predators.
Yeah. Well, first of all, this increases my confidence that it gets done. I mean, ultimately, like, the initial reaction is like, what? Poyle, what are you doing, right? But it also, to me, where it gets tough is if Forsberg is saying, you know, give me the moon. Okay, that makes a little, and Forsberg is asking for the moon and maybe even asking for the moon while thinking, you know what? If they give me the moon, great. Otherwise, I like this team. This sounds more like, dude, really? I'm asking for 8.2. So I think it's going to get done. So put me at 76%.
76?
Put me at 76%.
Going from 54 to 76.
I'm going up 22% because of this.
Okay. That's a pretty significant jump.
Because how could Poyle not make this deal if that's what he's asking for?
I would be shocked.
Dude, like, imagine if he doesn't make this deal and then Forsberg goes out there and signs with someone for, like, you know, $8.5 million.
Over 7 years, yeah.
Yeah. Like, what? So I think it's going to get done. And then I suppose, because Poyle, that's the thing. Poyle has talked a couple times recently and really explicitly said, especially the time at the season ending, he explicitly said this was about money. I mean, like, I think I actually asked him specifically, like, this is more about money than no movement. And he basically was like, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but I'm paraphrasing accurately here. You know, the money has to get figured out. Then you get to that.
Yeah.
But doesn't no movement have to be a huge thing here? It has to be, right?
Well,
it's got to be part of the equation here that's making this a problem.
Honestly, I would think if J.P. Barrie, if that's not a big part of this, then J.P. Barrie is not really doing his job. Like, if I'm Forsberg, one thing that I get that there have been trades that have worked out, trades that have not worked out for the Predators. But the fact of the matter remains, you just saw your friend Arvidsson get traded, and he was on a long-term deal. And you just saw your friend Ryan Ellis get traded on a long-term deal where you know that Ryan Ellis could have gotten more money on the open market. Like, that is a fact. He could have gotten more money on the open market, and he didn't. He chose to stay here, and he didn't take a huge discount, but he took a discount to stay here. And now he got shipped off to Philadelphia. It was the right move for the Predators. I'm not saying that it wasn't.
Yes.
But from a player standpoint, you just watched that happen. Like, I'm I want some trade protection if I'm Philip Forsberg.
For sure.
Well, is that all that they're bickering over right now? I don't know, because to your point, David Poile and the comments that he's made seem to have made it pretty clear over the last couple of times he's addressed it that money's a big part of it.
Yeah. Well, right. So Johnny De Silvera, who a regular contributor on Twitter, says, yeah, I got to think NTC/NMC is a sticking point if it's truly an asking price in low $8 million. Same thing you said, Ellis, Arvidsson. The Ellis thing is interesting because, to me, that's one of those stories. Because I remember when they signed the contract, I was like, that's a good deal for the Preds. And then it quickly looked like a bad deal.
Yeah.
And that's where you're afraid here is, like, a couple of years down the road, is Forsberg significantly less than an $8 million a year player for you?
I'd be surprised.
I'd be surprised, too. I mean, to me, that only happens if the injuries, I guess, continue and pile up and things like that. But because that's really what happened with Ellis, right? I mean, Ellis just got the crap beat out of him eventually and got too old to handle it.
Well, he's too small.
Right.
You don't worry about that. Forsberg's not too small.
Forsberg is bigger.
He's a little bit bigger. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on this report from Daily Faceoff that apparently Philip Forsberg asking for the low eights in terms of his annual average value. 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game.
They didn't ask for nine, I can tell you that. So they're asking for well south of what Roman Josi makes. So then he's at 9.058.
Yes.
I think they're somewhere in the low eights.
Yeah, well, I don't understand why that would even be a hesitation in Nashville. That seems odd. That's the one that doesn't make sense to me. Like,
that was the Daily Faceoff Rundown podcast, discussing Philip Forsberg's contract situation. Frank Saravalli throwing it out there that Forsberg not asking for nine. He believes he's in the low eights in terms of what he's asking for from the Predators. Taking your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I guess I have a couple of reactions to this. Number one, if that's the case, I agree with you. Like, that increases my confidence that the deal is going up. The one hesitation that I've really had here is, what if Forsberg's asking for like $9.8 million a year? Because I do think there's a certain number that you get to if you're the Predators that you just can't go to. Like, I understand you didn't trade him at the deadline, and it's going to be a horrible look. But if he's asking for $10 million a year, you can't do that if you're the Predators. So, without knowing what the numbers have been, that's always kind of been my hesitation in this thing. If this is accurate, and he's asking for low eights, if it's, 8.2, 8.3, whatever it is. Like, to me, I'm signing up for that right now if I'm the Predators. And I think the point that they brought up after that's a good one. Like, okay, you don't do that. Who are you bringing in impact forward-wise that you're going to get for less than that? Like, I just –
at that price.
I don't understand what that would look like there. Now
– you're not getting Johnny G for that.
No, you're certainly not getting him – for that. So, there's a lot of people on our text line right now saying, well, it has to be no movement. I'm sure that that's probably a part of it. Like we talked about it last segment. Forsberg, I think, would not be doing himself a service if he's not, heavily pushing for a no movement clause to some degree. But it just sounds like they keep saying, the reporting over the weekend was not close. Like, that sounds to me like money. That doesn't sound like it. Like, if you've got the money figured out, and the no movement's what you're working on, to me, that's not close. Right. Like, that's close.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It sounds to me like they're just not close money-wise, which if these reports are accurate and that's the number Forsberg is asking for, it just doesn't make any sense to me if you're the Predators. Like, I don't know what you thought you were going to get him for.
Yeah, like you could, with a no movement, you can have different kinds of no movement clauses too. But, yeah, if you're there, you're close. It's a tough one to understand. Does Poile not want to go and have a third $8 million, forward?
Probably not. But I mean,
sure he doesn't. Would you like to have a good team?
Right. That's the thing. Like, I understand you know, the Johansson and Duchesne contracts, although both of them played really well this past year, you still look at those and you say, huh, those are really expensive deals. And, like, I think Johansson illustrated last year, like, how important he is and when he's on, how good he can be. But still, production-wise, like, you look at it and you're like, okay, is that really worth $8 million? I think it's a fair question. Now, Matt Duchesne, production-wise, was worth every bit of $8 million last year. So it looks way better.
I mean, between them.
Yeah.
So between them, they made $16 million in the 2020-21 season, and probably gave you back value of, like combined value on $16 million, like four?
I mean, yeah.
Five or so. I mean, like, really. Last year, out of the $16 million, I could argue that they were really close.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, Johansson, you want to see a little bit more production, but he was good. And Duchesne was dynamite. Well, it would help he had
like a winger at some point, too.
That's true, too. He got put in tough spots, really, in terms of his production. So I'd argue that they were right around giving you $16 million in value between them.
Yeah. So, I mean.
So now it'll be $24 million between the three of them that we're looking at, I guess.
Could be. I mean.
Or maybe not.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, I understand you don't want to cripple your team to the point where you can't go out and add. Like, they not only need to pay Philip Forsberg, they need to go get other people and bring them in to play in the top six.
And you can, like, do that if you pay them $8 million.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you could do that. So I get not wanting to put yourself in a position where you're cap strapped again. I understand all that. But to me, like, an eight, low eights for Philip Forsberg, like, I've said all along, 8.5 is where I thought it would end up. And I thought that was, like, I could have been lowballing it a little bit. If it's low eights that he's asking for, to me, if he's asking for that, you might be able to land right on eight and get him. Like, I think that that's a pretty sweet deal for the Predators.
I mean, if you're
based on what the market would dictate,
if you don't think he's worth that, like, if you're David Poile right now, then I'll go back to trade him.
Yeah, I got him.
Like, if you know, if I mean, seriously, like, if you don't think he's worth that, so are you saying that? Like, you just really wanted to keep him for this one amazing postseason run of 2022. We'll always have the memories.
Yeah. Well, also, some of it is like, I understand there's a negotiation part to this. So, like, you want to, like, David Poile's job is to try to get the best deal that he can get for the Predators. So I understand that. But it's also like, at some point, you have to maintain good relationships with your players, too. And, like, I could see if Forsberg, if this is accurate and this is what Forsberg is asking for, like, at some point, is he not looking around saying, like, come on, man. Like, what do you want from me here? Like, I'm trying to be as fair as possible. And look, maybe there's information out there that we just don't know in terms of maybe Forsberg on the open market wouldn't fetch as much as we think he would. That's very possible. I don't know. But to me, if it's low eights that he's asking for, this is a deal that should get done. And probably should have already gotten done. Now, then the question becomes, all right, has he been asking for low eights the whole time, or is this like a recent development? I don't know.
You mean like he went down?
Yeah. Like, I couldn't
see
him.
Why would he do that?
I don't see why he would do that at all, but I can't for the life of me figure out why this is taking so long if he's asking for low eights the whole time.
So Alex Doherty had a good tweet. He just threw out some other NHL forwards with AAVs, quote, in the low eights. Couture, Thomas Hertl, Voracek, Wheeler, you know, Johansson, Duchesne. I mean, Forsberg compares favorably to this group of people. I would be shocked if Forsberg couldn't get nine out there. I think he could get nine.
I think he could, too.
I mean,
well, then the question, but then if you're the Predators, you say, well, it's great. You get nine. So it's seven times nine, that's 63.
Well, no, I know. I'm just saying. No, yeah, for sure. It's an easy, I mean, it's an easy solution here, I think. But I guess that's the problem, is like, when you have it characterized as not close, I guess it could be not, I guess, could it be not close because, like, there's just no way Poile's doing any kind of no movement? I but it's been characterized as a money thing. I'd love to know what the number Poile has,
like,
right now.
Don't you have to do, like, if you're Poile, to me, you kind of have to know that you're going to have to give up some no movement. Now, Forsberg may want a full no movement, and that very well could be on the table. And Josi has a full no movement, and that's it.
Duchesne does not.
But you sign Matt Duchesne 3 years ago, and you gave him partial no movement. So to me, if you're David Poyle, if you're being realistic, like after you gave Duchesne partial no movement, you know that Forsberg is going to get at least partial no movement.
Yeah.
Now maybe that's the sticking point, and it's the Predators want partial no movement, and Forsberg wants complete no movement.
But that's close.
But to me, again, that's close. Like yeah. You can work through that.
Unnamed texter says, could the way the contract is structured be an issue? Is Poyle trying to push too much money/bonuses to the back end of the deal? I mean,
it doesn't really work that way in the NHL. Yeah. Like it just, your cap hit is
pretty,
what it
it's
is.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
It's quite simple. Chris does.
Like you used to be able to do that in the NHL, and that's how the Shea Weber contract got structured the way it did, because the Flyers signed him to an offer sheet and basically tried to put it all up front where the Predators couldn't come up with the cash. But you can't do that anymore. And the Predators did. So.
Chris has a good point. Forsberg wants $8.2 million, but his mustache wants an additional million.
Yeah, it could be.
It's the mustache.
That is fair, though.
About. Yeah. Yeah. I think we need – I mean, actually, Forsberg's mustache probably doesn't get enough credit or blame here for its role in this whole problem. Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
Jonathan on the text line says, you have to believe no trade clause is extremely important to Forsberg because of his friends getting shipped out, and you have to believe he made that clear from the beginning, how important that was, and the fact that Poyle has been so stubborn about it, even though he gave Josi one. It's crazy, and if he just is hell-bent on not giving him a no trade clause, then why would he not try to get something for him at the deadline? It's just crazy to me. This is from Jonathan on the text line.
I'd love to know, like, see, this is an interesting thing, too. Saravalli, you know, says a number. Like, if you're David Poyle, again, the focus, as it should be, is on what are you doing? Get this done. Come on, right? But if you're David Poyle right now, like, moving forward, like, with J.P. Barrie, you know, like, what are you going to do? He's one of the most prominent agents in the league, but it's like, you got to be pissed right now.
Probably so, but I guess my response to that would be like, well, what's your number been? Because if they're truly at low eights and you're not close, like
just
what are you offering? Like, are you offering him 6.5? 7? Like, what is the offer money-wise if you're not close? That would be something that I would want to know.
Like, if you overpay other people, that doesn't mean that you get to make up for it by underpaying your best forward.
You wouldn't think so. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on Philip Forsberg. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line. I've also got some tickets to give away coming up next as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away to WWE SummerSlam at Nissan Stadium coming up on Saturday, July 30th. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Call the number 5 will win a pair of tickets to WWE SummerSlam coming up at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, July 30th. We'll see if Philip Forsberg is in attendance at SummerSlam as well. He was at CMA Fest.
What will it mean?
Well, it's July 30th, so at that point, he'll be signed somewhere.
What I didn't realize is, yeah, it's true, but all these appearances have really just been a cry for help for Forsberg.
Maybe so.
Like trying to send, probably if we look back and go look at him, he's probably like trying to send like hand signals like, he's only offering $6.3 million, help!
Oh, man. I don't know. I do agree with your original assessment that if these numbers are accurate, like this deal, it has to get done. Like if you don't get a deal done and it's true that he was only asking for the low eights, your fan base is going to be so mad.
Well, they should be. It doesn't make sense. You know, if that's how you value him, because that's what it is. I mean, there's the market is the market, but right now, before he would get to the market, you're saying what you think of him. Now, you're saying what you think of him in the context of your team and the league. And if that's how you value him, then you should have traded him, because other people value him, I promise you, more highly than that. Weird sentence, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Liam on the text line says, do you guys have a sense of how much a no movement clause actually cost a team on average? How often do players veto deals and teams end up with a lot less than they could have gotten? It's coming from Liam on the text line. That does happen. Like,
good question.
You know, the Panthers last year, they got Claude Giroux at the deadline, and Claude Giroux basically told the Flyers, I'm going to Florida. It was basically how that worked out. I think Colorado, there was a chance, but money-wise, they just couldn't make that work. So he basically told the Flyers, hey, I'm going to Florida.
That would have been fair, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been great. But when you limit your trade market like that, like, yeah, the deal is going to be affected by it. So absolutely, it does cost you. Now, you know, there are teams that they hand out no movements all the time. Look, I don't think the proper strategy for David Poile and the Predators is to just start handing these out left and right. But I do, when you open the door with Duchesne, like, it's going to have to be a part of the conversation with Forsberg. And the fact of the matter is, whether you like it or not, if you're the Predators, you have traded Ryan Ellis, you have traded Victor Arvidsson, and that matters to these guys and in the core group that have played with him. Like, if I'm Philip Forsberg, I mean, we saw his reaction last year. He put it on Instagram of the thumbs down when you trade Arvidsson. I can tell you from talking to him, he was not happy at the beginning of this year with those trades. Not happy at all. Like, that affects the way you view your contract as you move forward here. So, like, to me, if you're the Predators and you just have, like, this hard-line stance on no movement, which I don't know whether or not they still do. Obviously, Rjosi got one, and Duchesne got it's starting to erode a little bit. But if that's what you want to get back to, of, like, this hard-line stance on no movement, like, to me, that I don't know how realistic that is with Philip Forsberg.
Well, and like you said, left and right, you know, guess what? If you had a bunch of players this quality left and right all over the place, you'd be a much better team. You know, you do this for the special cases. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the Jeffrey Simmons thing, this whole, like, don't set a precedent by doing this. Well, if you got a bunch of Jeffrey Simmons situations, well, good for you. And then you have to be more selective with it. But right now, you got one. And each case has to be taken as its own thing. And in both of these cases, you're talking about special players that you should want on your team. Rob from Clarksville says, even if he wants full no movement, if the Preds suck, he will probably restructure. And if he's good and we are good, it's a win for both.
Well, you can't restructure.
Yeah, this is going to be what it is.
Yeah, I mean, the contract, it is what it is. Tom on the text
line
says,
or isn't what it isn't.
Well, that too. Tom on the text line says, my question is, where does Forsberg rank in the league? Just because he's our best forward doesn't mean he merits top dollar. In my view, the fact that he's our best forward is a problem. Tell me how many teams as currently constructed would make him the best forward if added to their current roster, and name those teams. The low eights may be the right number, but I ask this question to put him in perspective. This comes from Tom.
All very good points. Again, I'll read Alex Doherty, A to Z Sports, had a good comp tweet on some of the guys who are paid around there. And I think that Forsberg rates favorably. And I don't know off the top of my head, but I bet you we can think of quite a few teams, not the better teams in the league, but quite a few teams where you could make the case as he'd be the best forward.
Yeah. Well, the question is he what we just saw? Like, is that what he's going to be? Is he 42 goals, 42 assists, 84 points in 69 games? Like, if that's what he is,
then he's
the best forward on quite a bit of teams throughout the league.
Someone would give him 9+ at that, for sure.
Now, I do think it's
over
fair.
Over a long-term deal.
I think it's beyond fair to wonder if that's what he is as they move forward. Now, you know, he played in a contract year and scored 42 goals. We've always said that, you know, we feel like he's got 40-goal potential. And it's funny, I even said last year, like, I think one of the things I said was, yeah, I'm tired of hearing about that. He's not going to score 40 goals.
Yep.
And then
as soon as you say that,
40 goals from Philip Forsberg, 84 points. So it's obvious that he can do it. Now the question is, can he do it again? Because he's done it one time in his career. So I think that's a fair question to ask is, okay, well, what is he going to be as you move forward here? Because if he's what he was last year, yeah, he's the best forward on a lot of teams throughout the league. Not elite, but the best forward on a lot of teams. I do think it's fair to wonder if he's going to be getting 42-goal, 84-point Philip Forsberg again.
Another part of this that we haven't talked a ton about is that financially, there's some really positive developments with the NHL right now.
Yeah.
The TV deal has been a big success. The sponsorship, all these things, like there's a lot of reporting on that recently about just how well the league's doing, which tells me that I think the cap is going to start advancing as, of course, you know, it stagnated there, COVID and all the stuff. So that's another part of this to me is like long term, you know, you should be, I think, in good shape giving an ample deal here. Like if I knew that Forsberg, if I was David Poile and I could feel confident that Forsberg is going to average like about 35 goals a game.
35 a year. If he averaged 35 a game,
that he would be amazing.
They were extremely lowballing this offer.
He'd be the best forward on at least 7 or 8 teams in the league if he did that. I would, yeah, sorry, 35 goals a year for the next like 4 years. I mean, I'm certainly giving him low eights. I'm giving, you know, that to me is what you're looking for.
What's
you want to know he's available and he's producing. He doesn't have to be a 40-goal scorer every year.
What's the thing? If he's low eights, he doesn't have to score 42.
No.
Like, if you're low eights and he comes out next year and scores 32 and puts up 70 points, it's pretty good for that money. So, yeah, Dennis on the text line says that Forsberg report doesn't make any sense. It'd make more sense if the Predators were only offering low eights. I mean, that was kind of my reaction to it yesterday was, because when you start hearing about not close over the weekend, my brain immediately went to was, man, what's he asking for? Like, what is Forsberg asking for? So if it's the low eights, my brain has now shifted to, what in the world are the Predators offering him?
Yeah. Yeah, and I hear you, Dennis, but look, this is where – I mean, the messenger does matter to me. I don't remember the guy who, like, up in Montreal, like, whatever he was saying about Subban. And, like, there's some stuff that floats around that you, like, you immediately question. And you look at track record, and it does matter. And Saravalli, to me, he is not randomly throwing that
he's really
out
good.
There. He's plugged in. He's been covering the league for a long time. So that's why this, to me, carries a lot more weight than just, hey, some rando said that. Okay, who's that? Saravalli knows the league very well. So that also tells me, just my opinion, that he was given the okay to say a number. And if that's the case, that tells me there's some frustration that's getting to the point where you don't often see this go, which is numbers being thrown around before a deal is done.
I got a texter that says, I'm not worried about Philip. The Preds aren't winning the cup without a new general manager. Well, that's fine. You can feel that way, but like, do you want Philip Forsberg or do you not? Like, that's what – you can worry about that part of it later because, first off, I think it was pretty clear last week David Poile's not going anywhere. I think ownership feels pretty good about David Poile. So you're welcome to feel – I think it's fair to feel however you want to feel about David Poile, but it doesn't look like he's going anywhere. So the question boils down to, like, do you want Philip Forsberg or do you not? And exactly. What do you think is fair price?
So Zach, again, asks, who could we get in comparison to Forsberg for low eight?
Well,
I mean, to me, that's where this even makes it more necessary to sign him at this point.
Well, I mean, look, there are going to be guys out there this offseason that you could probably get for that money. Now, the question is, are they going to be as good?
Who's going to be worth that
Forsberg?
Money?
Like, you know.
Who would be worth that money? I mean, like Gaudreau is going to probably make more than
that. Oh, Gaudreau is going to make more than that. Yeah, Gaudreau is going to make.
What's Kadri going to get?
I mean, Kadri could get that type of money, maybe a little bit more, but he's also a center. Like, it's
right.
It matters what position you play as well. I mean, you know, Burakovsky is going to be out there. I don't think he's going to make that much money. You know, Nichushkin's really interesting to me because he was
huge
really productive
playoff.
This year.
Huge
had a
playoff.
Very big playoff. He's a free agent. I mean, the production, I remember a few years ago, you know, Nichushkin was in the draft with McKinnon and with Seth Jones, and he went to Dallas. And I remember it was like 2 or 3 years ago, he had a season where he had 0 goals and 0 penalty minutes, which is darn near impossible to pull off. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen anyone ever do that.
So he's a church mouse in the corner?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like skating in circles?
So, like, the production with him, he's gotten a lot better, but the production with him has virtually come out of nowhere the last couple of years. You know, Is he going to be the same elsewhere without playing on a line with Nathan MacKinnon?
He's not going to get eight anyway, though.
I don't think he's going to get eight, but he's going to, I mean, he's made himself some pretty good money.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I say all that to say, I think there's also something to knowing a player. Like, you know Philip Forsberg. You've been around Philip Forsberg. You know him better than anybody else. I always prefer to go with what you know than for hoping a guy comes in and works out. Like, obviously, if Connor McDavid is on the open market, like, you know, yeah, Connor McDavid. You know what he's going to be. You know, taking risks on guys like Nichushkin, I'd rather just go with Forsberg.
I totally agree. And look, if you can keep him and you, like you said, Kadri's the center, okay, well, Granlund can play wing too.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Nichushkin, get him for six. Okay. I mean, like, Forsberg, like you said earlier, this isn't the end of it.
It doesn't need to be the only piece.
You got to start here.
Yeah, no question about it. We'll continue this discussion. We'll get back into Forsberg coming up a little bit later in the show. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rob Rant. I've got one for you on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on 102.5 The Game. This atrocity of a song coming back in here.
Musical atrocities. Put on One Direction. They are better per Robbie Stanley.
I think I did walk that one back.
You do technically have late. A 1D shirt on.
It's true.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is this what you're ranting about?
No.
Your One Direction addiction?
No. I am not. I will continue to be addicted by One Direction. Love those guys.
Yeah.
They're not together anymore, are they?
Sadly, no.
Oh, okay. That's a tough one.
But Harry Styles, listen, solo. You should go see him.
Oh, yeah. But it's great.
Great things. Just, you know, sometimes it's just a short period of time.
This is true. All right. So my rant for the day. I am admittedly not a huge Major League Baseball fan. Like, when I was growing up, I rooted for the Red Sox mainly because most of my friends were rooting for the Yankees at the time, so I wanted to be different. So
I like that.
I was a Red Sox fan. I watched in 04 when they came back from 03 down against the Yankees and won, and I got into it a little bit after that. But by and large, just a very casual Major League Baseball fan. Loved playing the sport. Played baseball for like 15 years, but I don't watch a ton of it. I'm not a Braves fan. I was happy to see them win the World Series last year. A lot of my friends are Braves fans. Obviously, it is the closest team to here. So I enjoy watching the Braves. So it was interesting to me with Freddie Freeman coming back over the weekend with the Dodgers in his first time back to Atlanta. But, man, it was quite the weekend. I know Jared was down there for it. I saw this on Friday. Did you see Freddie Freeman's press conference heading into the weekend? It was.
I heard of things he said, but I didn't see
like,
it.
Like, I have seen guys come back before and be emotional. Like, you've been in a place for a long time. You get saluted by the crowd, and there's some tears that well up. Like, I've seen this happen before. But, my God, was it over the top this weekend. Like, Freddie Freeman, he walked into his press conference on Friday, which was before the game. And as he's walking in the room, like, he had to leave because he couldn't get up on the stage. He was crying. Which, look, I have nothing against you have an emotion coming back. But, hey, man, you could have signed a contract with the Braves. It was completely on the table for you. All you had to do is sign the deal. If you're that broken up about leaving Atlanta, my God, man, what's wrong with you? Like, you're a member of the Dodgers now. And I was, you know, it was a really emotional experience. Like, the crowd gave him a standing ovation. There were some boos thrown in there, but you couldn't really hear them. A lot of people, I mean, Freddie Freeman did a lot for the Braves. They won the World Series last year. But this is your fault that you're not in Atlanta. You had the opportunity to sign a deal, and you didn't do it. And then they traded for Max Olson. So now you're with the Dodgers. Like, if you wanted to be back that badly, you should have took the freaking deal, man. Like, your agent, and look, his agent, I think it's pretty clear at this point, Freddie Freeman got bad advice from his agent, and he tried to, you know, get every dollar he could get out of Atlanta, and then they ended up moving in a different direction. So that's on your agent. That's on you at the end of the day for allowing that to happen. But it's pretty clear to me that he still wants to be there. Like, he's not doing a great job of hiding that he still wants to be a member of the Braves. And I did watch some of this over the weekend and think to myself, well, if you're a member of the Dodgers right now, like, what do you think about all this? Because I think you understand, like, you know that he was there in Atlanta for a long time. There's obviously an emotional connection there. But it was over the top this weekend in Atlanta. And Clayton Kershaw came out with some comments, and I think took a pretty deep cut at Freddie Freeman with these comments that Clayton Kershaw told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Quote, "It was very cool to see his reception Friday night. He's obviously been a big contributor for our team, and I hope we're not second fiddle. It's a pretty special team over here, too. I think whenever he gets comfortable over here, he'll really enjoy it. It was a good night for him on Friday." The, quote, "I hope we're not second fiddle," to me, is a pretty clear message from Clayton Kershaw to Freddie Freeman of, all right, dude,
enough.
You've been going through this. You cried in the introductory press conference about your time in Atlanta. You've been crying about Atlanta for the last few months. You've gotten this out of the way now, going back. It's time for you to stop and be a member of the LA Dodgers. Like, to me, that's pretty clear comments from Clayton Kershaw. Like, dude, enough's enough. You signed a deal with us. You're not on the Braves anymore. Let's get over this stuff. So, like, Freddie Freeman, like, if you're that upset about not being a member of the Braves, there's a pretty easy way for you to control your destiny and where you wanted to be. I thought his reaction over the weekend was way over the top.
Yeah, it's also in the context of, like, you got an amazing deal. Either way, you were going to get paid a ton of money to play Major League Baseball.
Right.
But, it is a weird situation. Like, so I'm reading, like, Jeff Schultz's column about this. One of the quotes he had was, "I may never know the complete truth," is what Freddie Freeman said. You know, like, the negotiations broke down, but they did have an offer that both sides are still saying different things, according to Schultz. Like, you know, he never really wanted to sign here, but then the other says, nah, they never really wanted to sign him. Like, it's around and around. But, yeah, it's a bit much at this point. This has got to be the closure, right?
If this continues, at some point, if you're Clayton Kershaw or some member of the Dodgers or Dave Roberts, don't you have to walk in there and be like, hey, man, like, do you want to be here? Because this is ridiculous. Like, you've got to get over this at some point.
It's not like you're – that's a thing, too. It's like, you know, sometimes maybe someone leaves a team and they're having wild success – like, after leaving, and then you're on, like, a crappy team. But, no, you can win it all.
Look, and I'm glad that Freddie Freeman has a connection with the Braves. And, like, he's always going to be thought of as a Brave. So I get all that. But you made the decision ultimately to leave. Like, you messed around with the contract, whether it was your fault, your agent's fault. I'm sure the Braves have fault in it as well. But you messed around with your contract to the point where they felt like they had to move on. And they traded for somebody to force you to go sign somewhere else. Like, if you were that broken up about leaving, you should have never allowed it to get to this point. I've never seen anything like this. Like, I've seen players obviously emotional coming back. I have never seen anything quite like the depth of emotion that Freddie Freeman had over the weekend. Like, he could not get to his press conference. He had to walk out of the room. And it's a press – like, there's no fans in there. It's a press conference. There's a bunch of people like, well, look like us just sitting there in the chair.
Be like with the Avs going, and they're like, oh, these guys are partying more than we are about us winning a title.
That is true. Lots of celebrations taking place with the Denver media last couple of days. Maybe we'll get to that a little bit later. But I don't know. This Freddie Freeman thing is
amazing. I mean, I'm looking at this picture, and he's just the tears, you know. I'm trying to think of what would be the closest to this when someone – voluntarily left a team and then acted like the world ended because they left the team.
I keep going back to, like, first off, the money, the offer that was reportedly on the table from the Braves, you're making a ton of money from the Braves. Like, if you were this committed to the Braves, which it feels like you are, like, it felt like he was playing for the Braves the other night. It really did. I know he played well, and he's played well for the Dodgers all year, so he's ultimately probably, honestly, in a better baseball spot with the Dodgers than he would have been with the Braves as they move forward here, because that team is just stacked. But it was pretty awkward to watch. It's like, man, do you know he plays for the Dodgers? Huh.
So another wild thing about this is, I mean, just kind of weird. Like, so, you know, he would always go to Southern California in the winter, and now, like, they're just going to come back and live in Atlanta for the winter. Yeah. I need to be here.
It's like, man, Atlanta in the wintertime. I mean, it's not freezing cold or anything, but yeah.
Southern California.
That would be a good time to be in Southern California in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Dennis on the text line says, the Dodgers married a guy that's still obsessed with his ex-wife. That's kind of what it felt like over the weekend. I don't know. Freddie Freeman, got to be better as we move forward here. As we learned many years ago, there's no crying in baseball. Cut all that stuff out.
Why didn't Clayton Kershaw's best friend have the same sort of reaction last year? I'm very disappointed that Matthew Stafford would restore the roar.
Hey, did you know that they played baseball together? That was only brought up about 1,000 times last year.
They were best friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just learned that.
Yeah.
That's new.
This has been the Rob Rant. You can check out our rants every morning at 7:45 here on the program. By the way, Sam on the text line wondering when we're going to start calling this Robbie Rantley.
Ooh, maybe something. Or calling you Robbie Rantley.
Yeah, maybe.
You rant enough. You might just we might have to start calling you that. That's
maybe something
good.
We've got to work in there. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. We'll get her thoughts on all things Middle Tennessee sports. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.